Martha?
Hannah. I don't think anybody's come on yet.
Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I hope everybody is well.
Yes,
thank you.
We will start with section 14, verse 102. We'll start with L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kud Shabri Churishkin David Hilu Erchimu Ud Hilu Ud Hilu Erchimu. Liakta L'shem Yudhe Bavate Yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah, La'asok Torah Mitzvah. V'hino amadunai Elohinu aleinu ma'asei yadenu k'nenei, aleinu ma'asei yadenu k'nenehu. K'madit razahti okna sha'efe, v'adam v'tikuno hakei namei, it razahti yoknei. Tishaifei nukva, v'tikunei v'nukva, v'kol ha'parash v'gavan, ha'kei namei it le'ela. Ahiba v'itar, v'kavel birchimu, hen it letata, razad kikuna. The Adam Tata Ahara Tichot Vihara. Just as there is a secret pertaining to the shape of the parts of the body of man, Zeran Pin, and its composition, so too there is a secret pertaining to the shape of the parts of the body of the female principle of Zeran Pin, and its composition. And the only difference between them is their color. The color green is the secret of Zeran Pin, while red is the secret of the female principle. Nevertheless, the shapes of their parts are similar. We did read this last night, didn't we?
Yes,
sir.
All right, let's go to verse 103. Unless you want to finish this one and talk about it again, because it was a little confusing last night, I believe. Verse 103. Go ahead.
Well, I know Donna, and I think it's, I don't remember, Ruby, I think, were the ones that really discussed it with you. If they don't have any questions, well, I think we could go on to 103.
Yeah, we can go on.
Verse 103. And I apologize for that error. Kima didrawa tamala. Ve'ela achiba, ve'itar l'kivla, birchimu hakein ame'it l'tata, hay nachash ihu deroa, shemala deruach, mesava ve'achid be'ya, man derakiv, be'ya v'karva, Legabe to see Hara, Uma Sheikh La Benaihu, the Kutfa, the Ista Avat. Above the left arm of Zeran Pin holds the female principle and rises lovingly toward her. Similarly, below the female principle, the serpent, which is the left arm of the spirit of defilement, is the female principle of defilement. He who rides upon the serpent, who is the male of the defilement, grasps and mates with it. By this he approaches the moon, which is the female principle, and draws her toward him, meaning that he is nourished from her, from between those that are clinging, meaning the place of the mating, and thus she is defiled. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, yesterday we talked about the two trees, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and it appears that this verse is definitely talking about the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Well, it's actually, it's talking about both.
Is it? Well, it's the very first paragraph. Yeah. The very first one.
The first part of it is talking about the positive tree. And it's giving this metaphor that comes from Shir HaShirim about the male, the female resting in the left arm of the male.
Is that his left hand?
So
is under my hand, and his right hand braces me? Is it that scripture?
Right. Yeah,
okay.
That's the verse from Shir HaShirim, and now this is explaining that essentially the left column is being controlled. I don't mean it in a negative way, but I don't have another word that really affects the left column is being controlled by the right column in the positive tree. And then it's explaining in the lower tree or in the negative tree, it's describing it in a different way. Saying the serpent, which is the left arm, is controlling the right column. But it's specifically only in the female principle
is it sort of likened to temptation? I mean, it's like the choice between the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov.
The Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov are in this conflict.
Mm-hmm.
The Yetzer Hara is the left column in the lower tree, in the tree of knowledge, good and evil. The Yetzer Tov is the right column. And they are constantly looking for superiority. The right column saying, if I'm in ascendance, then you must acquiesce to me and what I'm telling the soul to do. And if the left column is in ascending, then the right column has to acquiesce to what the left column is telling the soul to do. That is, this verse is explaining that. It's hinting at it if it doesn't describe it clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Should I go on, or should we stay with this?
Yes, I think so. Unless Malka has something to say.
Oh, no, ma'am.
Did anybody else come on? I thought I heard somebody. I guess not.
It's me.
Verse 104.
Randy.
Welcome. We're
okay.
About to start 104, and we're talking about verse 103. If you want to catch up,
okay, thank you.
Ugdain Ukdein Yisrael Latata Mekarvin Sair Behahu Nachash It Meshach Avat Rea Dehahu Sair Vesihara Ita Iat Vesal Kats Leela Veit Kesharat Veela Leit Barka Unhirim Anpaha Ma Veit Chash Pat Letata. In Israel below, offer the scapegoat on the first day of the month. The serpent is drawn to it, for its entire craving is for the illumination of the left. Through the scapegoat, Israel draw the sweetening of Malchut in Bina and the illumination of the left from below upward. Then the moon is purified and becomes fit to receive the abundance from her. From her husband, Zeranpin, she then climbs up and clings above to Zeranpin in order to be blessed. While before, when she was below and had not yet mated with Zeranpin, she was dark. Now her face lights up. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, we know the scapegoat is connected with Yom Kippur, and that the scapegoat is
the Satan's share.
So both the bride and or the moon, the bride, can can focus on Hashem and Teshuvah that day, and Hashem can reciprocate because the scapegoat is taking the Satan's attention. That's what I thought of.
What the verse is saying is, in the above verse, in 103, there's this discussion that the left column draws the female principle, which is Malchut, towards it and imbues it with the red color. Now in verse 104, it's saying that Israel brings a sacrifice of a goat on Rosh Chodesh. And that sacrifice to the goat is actually the scapegoat, and it's given to Satan. And Satan then lets Malchut go, because as we know, angels, and Satan is an angel, can only do one thing at a time. So if Satan is painting, or meaning involving Malchut, moving it to the left column, connecting it to judgment, Satan cannot do that and also receive the energy from the scapegoat, from the sacrifice. And so by Israel bringing the scapegoat, bringing the goat sacrifice on Rosh Chodesh, that additional goat, and giving it to Satan, Satan drops the female principle. It stops feeding from it, her. And so she then is free to elevate. But she's been defiled. She's impure. So she has to be purified through the light of elevation. As she elevates, that light that she gets closer to cleanses her and makes her ready to mate with Zeranpin. Now, what does mate mean?
Hmm. I felt like it was doing teshuva and clearing the pathway to be able to move to zero again. Did I get disconnected? Whoop. Sure did.
Hello?
Oh.
I'm still here.
I thought I got disconnected because I heard a beep.
I think he got disconnected.
Okay.
Brandy, you still there? Brandy?
I've returned.
I'm here.
Okay.
What I was saying is that we have to understand what does the word mating mean? Zivug, sexual intercourse. On a spiritual level, it means the fulfillment. It means malchut, drawing sustenance, drawing the light from Zeranpin. When she is defiled, when she is moved to the left column, she is sharing whatever light she had received earlier with Satan. She's the one fulfilling Satan. But when he goes after the scapegoat, she is set free, and she moves back to the central, but now she needs to elevate to get closer to her mate, Zeranpin. And to do that, as she gets closer, the light of Zeranpin flows into Malchut and purifies her, turns her color from red to white, or to yellow, as I remember. Is that all clear?
Yes.
Verse 105. Disha itasa Behausair Tehara I Parshat Nineya Feed Askat Leolafa Alaihu Sane Goya Puso Kevket Alaihu Kaima Albanin The Kid Shah Barifu, the Rech Lon Mila Uma Helon. The same is true of Yom Kippur, another day on which the evil serpent is kept busy with the scapegoat, which is the illumination of the left, just as on the first day of the month, when the serpent is busy with the scapegoat. The moon is separated from it and may busy herself in protecting Israel as a mother protects her children. Then the Holy One, blessed be He, blesses Israel from above and forgives them for their sins. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Okay, I thought the scapegoat was just for Yom Kippur. So evidently the goat offering on there's a goat offering on Rosh Chodesh, and they're calling it a scapegoat too, from the previous verse.
Correct.
And that's different.
Correct.
That's a different goat from the goat of the two from Yom Kippur. Okay, I wasn't aware of that.
That is correct.
Okay.
We read a few verses earlier that there was this additional goat offering that is only done on Rosh Chodesh.
Yeah, I just never heard it called a scapegoat.
And in that earlier verse, it speaks about how Israel was asked by the creator, by Hashem, to bring a sin offering of this goat. And because of that midrash, or the midrash is the effect of this, of the scapegoat concept, that it's all getting there. The scapegoat means something that will keep Satan busy and not let him pay attention to any one of the children of Israel.
So that's why our Rosh Kodesh connections are so important. It's a high energy day because of that.
Correct.
Because that still goes on today, that Hashem sends the goat, the scapegoat, on Rosh Hashanah, I mean on Rosh Kodesh.
The Torah reading on Rosh Kodesh, that Torah reading is about the goat offering.
Right.
So you remember the sages are teaching us that when the temple was destroyed, sacrifices were no more physically, but they are spiritually, because through prayer. And the Musaf offering here, we're learning it's a scapegoat, just like on Yom Kippur.
I think this is more meaning, I think, for Rosh Kodesh.
Oh, definitely. It's understanding this reinforces how important Rosh Kodesh is. It reinforces why the connection that we do on Rosh Kodesh, all of that, taking control of the month, because Satan has separated from the children of Israel. Satan is not there to get its share, its portion. So all positivity can take place on that first day. Let's do verse 106.
Okay.
Levatar Yisrael Kadmato Lahak Mitare Sitra Tiyamina Leela Begindi Itkashar Beya Ziharavit Nahiru Anpaha Dadka Chaze Ukden Paugat Hulaka Devir Khan Lako Inun Mimanan Diltata the Eat Askun the Hulahon the Layetun Layanka Ukarava the Sidra the Hulahon the Israel. Later, when Israel reached the holiday of Sukkot, the right column of above is aroused, as alluded to in the verse, and his right hand embraces me. This allows the moon, who is the female principle, to attach herself to him, namely to the right, and then her face is fittingly illuminated. Then she shares her blessings with all of the ministers below, namely the 70 ministers of the nations. By keeping them occupied with their blessings, they are distracted from approaching and sucking from Israel's portion, as is described with the serpent and the female principle. Its occupation with the scapegoat deflects its prosecution of the female principle. Questions, comments, thoughts?
So from the first day of the month to Sukkot there, the movement has gone from the left column to the right column.
Remember, the first 10 days of Yom Kippur is building the vessel, which reaches its largest capacity on Yom Kippur, where it can get to Bina, cosmic Bina, and change the DNA of the year. But 4 days later, you're in Sukkot, and what happens on Sukkot? The light fulfills Malchut. But why is that happening? It's happening because the scapegoat on Yom Kippur is keeping the Satan busy. Remember the metaphorical story of the shepherd. When there's a wolf in the neighborhood, he stakes out a male either goat or ram, and then runs all of the rest of the flock away from the area. And the wolf, seeing that the staked out animal is fair, you know, is easy prey, he runs after it. But the staked out animal is the strongest of the flock. So he doesn't fall easily. And he fights. And he's a stronger, older, wiser animal, so he knows how to defeat the wolf or to keep the wolf at bay, even though he's staked out and can't run away. And the wolf keeps after him until finally the shepherd comes back and scares the wolf away, and then takes the scapegoat, takes the staked out animal back to be with the flock. And in this way, the shepherd never loses an animal. But metaphorically, we have to understand what's happening. What's happening on the spiritual level? The staked out animal represents the scapegoat that was given to Satan. And Satan, who has Malchut converted to the left column, says, oh, here's a easy prey. She's already converted. Let's run after the easy prey. But she's not already converted. She's in the illusion of Malchut. So it looks like she's red. But she really would rather be with the male principle of Zeranpin. So she runs after Zeranpin. And that she becomes cleansed as she gets more and more of the light. She converts back from red to yellow. And she elevates. So she's now totally being protected from Malchut, or from Zeranpin protecting Malchut. The system is amazing. It's really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way we can truly understand the beauty is through these metaphorical stories.
Well, I think, too, learning about Job in the Zohar also prepared us for these verses for today. Because the situation was sort of the same, you know, that Hashem visited the Satan with Job so he could forgive the Jewish people on Yom Kippur. So, we've got that same theme here, almost a little more in depth, I think. But it's like more and more we see more and more situations where Hashem is being merciful to us all the time.
Absolutely. Satan wants us to have strict judgment, and Hashem.
Am I disconnected? Sounds like. Am I disconnected?
No, I think he's disconnected again.
Okay.
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
He might not know where he was.
Sorry for the disconnection, but I was about to say that we're out of time.
Okay.
So tonight we're doing a Tikkuni Zohar class at 7:00 West Coast time. And tomorrow night we will have a mini Zohar class at 4:30 and questions and answers at 7:00. So, and I think there's a few questions that should be asked over based on the last few days. So hopefully that will be true. Shalom to all.
Okay, thank you.
Shalom. Thank you.